The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning. Welcome to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTVR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also listening to us on 88.1 WSBR in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge. Watching us on the PCTV Select app and possibly also on Channel 1301. Access Pittsfield on your cable dial. Sean Sayre here with you this morning. Friday, April 24th. A nice, bright, sunny day out there. The days are getting longer. I'm waking up in the morning, getting to the show, and not waking up in total pitch darkness. It's kind of nice. I'm getting home, and it's light. I like that. We're getting there. We're getting more and more sunlight, so we're enjoying that. And I have a great show for you this morning. Mary Verdi is joining me this morning, singer-songwriter Mary Verdi. Got a lot of stuff going on. She has a performance coming up at the Barrington Stage St. Germain Theater we're going to talk about, and new music videos and recording and all kinds of stuff we're going to talk about with Mary. Many in the community already familiar with her work, but if you're not, if you want to stick around for the show this morning and listen to that, all about it. You're going to learn about angels. We're going to talk about angels. All right, here we go. Let's get our weather forecast in and talk about that first, and then we'll get to our interview with Mary. Here we go.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy. Lows in the mid-30s. North wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday, sunny. Highs in the mid-50s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Friday night, mostly clear. Cold with lows in the lower 30s. Northeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, not a bad day coming up then, sounds like. We'll enjoy that while we get it. I was hearing about a little bit of a roller coaster we were going to get over the next week or so with some below average temperatures, but looking out there right now and walking in this morning, I'm not complaining. It's nice. We can take that. All right. Good morning to everyone listening, and thank you for listening and watching this morning. Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM. And joining me now in the studio, Mary Verdi. Good morning, Mary. How are you?
I am very happy to be here. Hi, Sean. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. We're glad to have you here. And, you know, it's not often that we get a performer coming in the morning. sometimes can be a difficult time. We think of performances usually later in the day, right?
Yeah, well, we'll see how I do when I sing a little bit. I bet everybody might go, she should have stayed in bed.
but it happens once in a while, we'll say.
Yeah, well, I'm thrilled to be here. It's been a while since I've been here, so yeah. This is fun.
Yeah. Thank and I you. Think the first time in the new studio, right?
Yeah.
Certainly you had been on the program when the radio station was up at Taconic High School.
Yeah. Yeah, and this looks great. I love this room. I remember the back room when I would bring the band and we would play. So this is a really great spot.
Well, we'll have to have you back on TV at some point, too, down the hall here at PCTV. So for people not familiar with you or your work, tell us about yourself, your background. Tell us how you got into music and how that became a passion for your life.
Great. Well, I'm from Danville, Illinois. Hmm. Some of you may know that is Dick Van Dyke City,
kidding.
Gene Hackman, the Lewis Brothers. The Midwest is very, very musical theater oriented. Hmm. And my family was all, music and teachers. My father was the administrator of schools for the performing arts wing.
Oh, okay.
And we were in music lessons and classes our entire childhood.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of early exposure to this, I'm hearing.
Yeah. And when I was about five, I started taking piano lessons. Mm-hmm. My dad really wanted me to play violin, but I'm left-handed, and so his... head violinist said, Bill, you need to put her on the piano because she just can't do this. And thank goodness, Madeline Norman was her name. I named my first daughter after her. Anyway, I'm so glad that she sent me to the piano because it has ended up being a career for me. So it worked well. And then my parents made a deal with me. They would give me summers off, but I would take lessons when during the school year. And then that deal went on all the way through college. So if I wanted to go to college and get their help, I had to keep taking private piano. And I was really tired of piano at that point. But I'm really glad that they did because it just kind of gave me more and more. So that's what I did. And then a lot of my childhood was musical theater and operas with my father. So I loved Oklahoma and My Fair Lady and, Music Man and Sound of Music. And I was lucky enough to experience all of that in my childhood.
Yeah, I was going to say that. So that's all in your formative years, I'm hearing, right?
Yes.
So the exposure there really makes a big difference when you've got it around you. And I hear that from a lot of people that came up that said, he was from a musical family or, she was always near, theater or something like that. That makes a huge impact on someone's life. And who knows what their trajectory would be if that wasn't there, but it was
100%.
There,
right? Yeah. My grandmother was a church music director. My grandfather on the other side was a music teacher and he had a concert band in the parks. And then, of course, my dad, and then both of my brothers were in music too. So we, and my mom loved it all. She didn't perform, but she always helped us with everything.
No, that's all right. And and performing and playing is one thing. Writing songs is another whole thing altogether, right?
Yes.
And I would imagine that switch from the violin to the piano probably made the bigger impact on songwriting, right?
Yeah,
is it easier to write things for the piano or with the piano as your main instrument?
100%. And, I grew up with Barry Manilow, Bread. Bread was one of my biggest influences. And I would listen to the lyrics and they're just so incredibly heartfelt. And, when I was a teenager, of course, I was love crazy. And, everything was about the, I'm going to fall in love and all that jazz. And so I never really considered songwriting until my late 20s. And I went to Belmont College in Nashville and I would see other people writing, but I never really even thought that that was something I could do. So luckily I began writing, but at the time I did not have a piano in my house. And my brother sent me a guitar from his music store in Colorado. And I taught myself how to play guitar. So when I first started songwriting, it was actually on guitar.
Oh, interesting. So that wasn't your native instrument. That was something you picked up along the way.
No. Yeah. And I have a great respect for guitar players because it was a learning curve for sure. With piano, you use both of your hands. So I had that to my advantage. But I'm left-handed and I'm definitely one of those left-handed people where my right hand can't do a whole lot. And so to hold the guitar pick alone was quite challenging. So that's when I late 20s basically is when I started.
What's it like being a left-handed piano player? Because actually you don't hear about that too much. And again, the piano, right? You're doing a lot with your right hand.
Yeah, I think for people that play piano, that would listen to me play piano, my left hand plays the bass and the rhythm. And I'm very comfortable with that. And I've had to work on my right hand. It does okay, but it definitely is not as strong as my left. So I think a piano player would say, yeah, her left hand is the strongest,
But of course, left-handed guitarists, plenty of famous ones of those. And the first things I think of are, Jimi Hendrix, Paul McCartney, right?
Yeah.
So,
amazing right. players.
Yeah.
I'm more of a rhythm player to support my singing, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I, and even locally, Jack Waldheim works on my guitar. I mean, to listen to him play the guitar is just so lovely. Mm. And all of the finger picking he can do.
Yeah.
It's really beautiful.
I think there's a lot of sort of lost art there. And, you know, moving into the new era of music creation, which is certainly what we're in now. And then you look back to the singer-songwriter era that you were describing, that early 70s era
yeah.
Of people that were, you know, creating things and really, you know, the chops that they had on their instruments and stuff were just unparalleled.
Yeah.
And I wonder going forward, you know, if we're really going to be seeing that level of talent in music, if there's going to be a concentration like you had when you were growing up, when you had music all around you and you had people that could mm-hmm. play and that spent the amount of time it sounds like you spent learning an instrument when you were young, you know, is that
yeah.
is that are we losing that?
I don't think we are. You know, I think everything in life is like a pendulum as a society. And, you know, as we learn things, I think it swings this way and then it swings that way. And eventually we come to the center. But I don't think the art of the musician will ever die because there's just something so magical in communicating, touching hearts. Mm-hmm. Human to human,
mm-hmm.
you know, that I think we'll always hold on to that. But you do have a point, though. It takes a childhood that is committed. It's just like sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a muscle you just have to train and continue to do.
Yeah.
You know, but...
Yeah. And going to a performance also is a special thing, right? And
yeah.
That's something that I think people who haven't been out in a while, haven't seen a live performance of music really being performed by someone with that craft. They need to get out more, first of all. But, you know, it is that connection that you have that is special. You realize it when you walk in, you sit down, and then performer starts performing, and you really make that intimate connection, right?
That the intimate connection. Yeah. I was talking to Abe Guthrie yesterday about this and having this exact conversation about why we do what we do, you know, because sometimes you think, am I crazy to keep doing this and put myself through it? And I told Abe, I said, well, at this point, I don't know what else I would do. So I really love doing this. Mm-hmm. But we were talking about that moment where, you know, you begin a concert and you're face to face with the audience. But then it somewhere in that moment of the music and the lyrics and the words, you just feel a shift, and all of a sudden there's this synergy where you're connected with everyone in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth all of that because you know that you're connecting with someone's heart,
mm-hmm.
which I love.
Yeah.
That is the passion behind what I do, just sharing that with other people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I can imagine that's quite the flow that you must get into. Nerves,
yeah.
probably, right, coming up to the beginning of the show. And
absolutely.
Then you sort of drop into, you know, what you do, and then you start to feel it, right?
100%.
Yeah.
And the more fun you have, like Abe said yesterday, if we're not having fun, they're not having
yeah.
fun. And I go, I know, because you get on stage and they can feel every nerve that mm-hmm. you have going on. You've
yeah.
just got to... You know, settle in.
Yeah. A lot of the same thing with the theater as well, too, right?
Yes.
About getting on stage. If anyone hasn't been on stage, it's that feeling of getting up there and getting that reaction from the audience, especially if you're in a comedy or something like that. And
yeah.
suddenly it's like, okay, are these lines hitting, you know?
Yeah.
Are they coming back? Am I going to be energized
yeah.
by that? That's a tremendous feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't. I've been watching comedy shows on Netflix this week, and boy, the pressure that comic mm-hmm. actors step on, and they, you know, if it totally flops, how they get out of it. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine. I'm so glad I'm a musician.
Yeah, stick with music, right?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, that's a little too much stress for me.
Mary Verdi joins me this morning on Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM. She's a singer, songwriter. I think we'll add the word spiritual to that, right? Spiritual.
Oh, yes.
Singer, songwriter.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I sort of mentioned performing and performance, and you have one coming up at Barrington Stages St. Germain Theater. And this is, so let's talk about that. How did that come about? How did you sort of put the idea of this together and maybe flesh it out a little bit for us?
Yeah, great. Thank you. Well, because I came from a theater background, I was in musicals and plays all through college. And I think I was in my last musical in Nashville when I was 28, I think was the last musical. And I started writing. I wanted, you know, to go down that avenue. So I kind of shifted. But I have missed the theater through all of these years. But I have been raising four kids and singing and doing my journey with music. And about 2 years ago, I really started talking to my husband about, I'd really like to go back into the theater world. And so I spent a couple of years trying to figure out how I wanted to approach this next tour. Most of my tours have been in the church world, which I adore, and I will still do, but I really want to shift and take the audience into that theater experience, because we're able to control so much more. The lights, the feeling, the sound, everything's so quiet and intimate. And I wanted to be able to create that for this next tour. And I've been going. I'm a big fan of the 10 by 10 at Barrington Stage. Yep. And I've been sitting in that theater over the years. And I told my husband, if I return to the stage, this stage is the first one I want to be on because it's just so intimate. So I called them, and, you know, I was in the Colonial Theater with my Christmas show for about 10 years, and I loved that, but that space just felt too big for this particular tour, and so I called Barrington, and I tell you, that team of people, Sean, they are so nice.
We're so lucky to have both of those theater organizations here, right here in Pittsfield. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we started talking, and I told them what I wanted to do, and they went, sure. So this is May 8th, which is 2 weeks from today, 7 o'clock at night. Because it's a smaller theater, I really suggest people call and get their tickets ahead of time.
And but the St. Germain Theater, just to, for people, this is the one on Linden and Seymour Street.
Yes, so it's right down from like the street St. Joe's High School used to be on. So anyway, I'm very, very excited. I've been working with them for a couple of months, and they help me with different parts of the technical side of the show. So it's all coming together, and we're very thrilled to be there.
Yeah, so May 8th is the date, Friday, May 8th, 7 p.m. at the Barrington Stage St. Germain Theater, Mary Verdi's next performance. What's the title of, do you have a title of the performance?
Oh, I do. Yeah. This is an actual tour, so it's the debut concert. Okay. It's the only concert of this tour that will be in the Berkshires anytime soon. And it's called The Illumination of Angels.
Nice. Okay. So expand on that a little bit. So how do angels sort of play into the theme of this?
Yeah, absolutely. When I started songwriting when I was 28, a couple of years in, I wrote this song called Angels in Your Eyes. And it was the first time that when I was writing, all of a sudden I felt this unbelievable guardian angel presence, like just this peace would come around me. And it really began to influence my lyrics and focus me more on love and focus me more on light and peace. And when I started songwriting, I went into the love song kind of, you know, road that I was on. But I've always sang in the church. I'm deeply spiritual. And so that just kind of shifted me to start being more aware of these glorious angels. And through the years, when I look back at my CDs and the songs that I've written on them, I began to realize that there's this glorious thread of angelic inspiration. And so 2 years ago, I thought, why don't I put that together and create an angel tour and make it all about angels? And so that's what this Illumination of Angels tour is all about.
Okay. And I would imagine that's going to ring true with people who will come to listen and participate as well. I guess the idea of angels for a lot of people, I think, has a major connection as well.
Yes. Right? And, you know, angels are so ethereal and we can't see them. And for thousands of years, humans have tried to describe angels and try even I have the hardest time, like, okay, which words should I speak so it's as true and beautiful as angels really are? But they're
not connected to any one particular religion, though.
No, right? It is. Thank you for asking. Angels are not religious. Angels were connected to God. You know, you can use God, you can describe God as a universal love, you know, whatever we feel is right. It's all the same glorious feeling. And with angels, it's this feeling of being protected, feeling of being guided. If you really pay attention, we all know that feeling. And so I really like to remind people that no one religion has the corner on angels. Angels are above this religious, you know, we've all created these religions over the thousands of years. So angels really are about anyone in any walk of life, you know, moving forward and being connected with goodness and love and light. And angel messages are really just to help us on our path. So we live in harmony and we live peaceful, you know. I think that's their biggest message for everyone. And the fact, you know, life can make us feel pretty alone at times and feeling like our challenges, you know, there's no one there to help. And I think I've worked really hard at this concert to give the audience member an experience. So while they are surrounded by this love and light and looking at this art installation we've created, they will feel loved and adored and accepted and held. That is my goal at the end of the night.
Great. Mary Verdes is my guest here this morning. If you're just joining us on the Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR-FM, and Mary has brought her guitar with us, with her this morning to share some songs with us. Why don't we do one of those right now?
Terrific.
Yeah. And what's the name of the song you're going to be playing first?
How about if we do Angels Calling?
Okay.
All right.
There you go.
Yeah, let's give it a try. I wrote this, I would say I wrote this about a year and a half ago, and this is called Angels Calling. Okay. I hope you like it. Hear their gentle whisper, feel their warm embrace. They are here around us in this place. They know our deep emotions, sensing all our needs, helping, guiding for us we release. Now every one of us has an angel close. So to help us on our way, they wait in wonder. Cause your ways can ease our pain. Angels calling, hear their song. We've been loved so long. Travelers on our journey home, touching down but not to stay. There is no map to follow, only lessons learned. Oh, the doors that sometimes close. It is up to you now to just ask for help. They will gladly guide you on. Angels calling, hear their song. We've been loved so long. Knowing you were never alone. Not to worry now, oh, they will guide you on. Help you see the path, a brighter way.
Fantastic. Mary Verdi here on Morning Drive singing Angels Calling, her own song, her own composition, a beautiful voice.
Thank you.
Wonderful, wonderful sound.
Thank goodness my voice arrived this early.
I knew it would. I knew we would get through at least a little bit of dialogue. And,
yeah.
And 7:30 in the morning comes very early. It's a difficult time to even talk. So
you're fun to be with, Sean, so I'm good.
Yeah. Tell us about the songwriting of that. What sort of brought the words to that song?
Well, 2 years ago, I had a little illness going on, so I had to stop singing for several months. But I knew that I had to do something creatively to kind of keep myself from, going really crazy. So I decided to, which is crazy now that I think of it, but I thought, okay, sometimes I have those moments where I just decide to do things. And I decided to write a one-woman play. And I like talking about that angelic thread that I knew was through my music. I decided to write a one-woman play about my life and all of the things that happened through my life and how angels were really there and really influenced my life. So I did that for a little over a year. It was a really big undertaking. I met a friend that was, his name's Jim Potosa, and he was the director of theater at Boston College in Boston, and he had just retired. And I said, how do you feel about helping me write this play? Because, you know, I've never done this. I have no idea what I'm doing. And he was really instrumental in helping me figure out how to craft a play. And when you start writing a play, it's very easy to kind of go down a rabbit hole and spend too much time on this particular thing and forget about the thread that's supposed to be going through. So long story short, once I finished that, I started thinking, okay, I'm not sure I want to do a one-woman play. I really missed my band. I have a trio. In the past years, I've done full bands, like the Christmas show, which will come up this December again. So I'd love to invite everybody to that. It's free, and it's a community-based Christmas show. It has a full band. But this particular tour, I really wanted to do a trio. And I'm traveling with my violin player, Eileen Markland, and we have a new hand percussionist out of the Albany area. His name is Brian Mellick. Anyway, so I took that play, and I kind of shifted and took bits and parts and put it in the dialogue. So this 75-minute concert that will be the tour is a condensed version of this one-woman play.
Okay. So it grew out of that, basically.
Yes.
Found some inspiration.
Yeah.
And something that, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are never going to write a single word of a play or even think that they could go down that road and do that, right? And
well, yet, there's a little bit of stupidity when you're an artist. You think, oh, what the heck, I'll try it. And you really have no idea what you're doing.
The way that the best things happen, right?
Yeah.
I think to a lot of us.
Right? That's right. Yeah. When I was in the middle of that, you had asked about Angels Calling. I started writing the song, and it took a while to create that song. The chorus was very different than where it landed. I enjoy that song. It's fun. And I tend to being from the Midwest, I'm a blend of my father's symphony. My mom used to call it his long-haired music. And my mother was a lover of country music. So I kind of think I'm a blend of those two. And I was very happy to kind of get that folk country sound and this Angels Calling song.
Nice. Mary Verdi's my guest here this morning on Morning Drive. We are coming up to that top of the hour break, so let's do that now and come back with part two of our interview. I think Mary might play another song for us along the way here. Looking forward to that. So we'll be right back after this. This is Morning Drive on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Stick around. We'll return right after this.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu.
And from Santrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at Santrini.com.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Let's take a moment to talk about your wellness. Financial wellness, that is.
Go through the process of making a monthly budget, even if it's not perfect. It's good to be aware of your financial health.
When shopping for insurance, ask your agent to shop around for you and see if you can bundle your policies.
This money hack brought to you by your neighbors at Greylock Federal Credit Union. All financial education and coaching resources are free and open to the public. Greylock Federal Credit Union, insured by NCUA.
Welcome to Beyond, a one-hour program of science fiction, fantasy, and adventure. I'll be your host, Beverly Prentice. Listen in every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. My email is beyond3x5@gmail.com.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the morning drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Yes, welcome back to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. Also on 88.1 WSBR for our friends in Lee, Lennox, and Stockbridge, and on the PCTV Select app and 1301 Access Pittsfield on cable. Thanks again for listening, joining in this morning on April 24th, a Friday. You've made it to Friday. We've all made it to Friday. You look outside, it's a nice, bright, sunny day. We like that. I hope your drive into work is going well, or maybe whatever you're doing at this time. Listening to us, we appreciate it. Mary Verdi is my guest this morning. We'll get right back to that interview and performance in just a moment. First, one more listen to our weather forecast from the National Weather Service. Here we are.
WTBR radar weather for the Pittsfield area. Rest of tonight, mostly cloudy. Lows in the mid-30s. North wind around 5 miles per hour. Friday, sunny. Highs in the mid-50s. Northwest wind 5 to 10 miles per hour with gusts up to 20 miles per hour. Friday night, mostly clear. Cold with lows in the lower 30s. Northeast wind around 5 miles per hour. Weather forecasts for WTBR-FM are provided by the National Weather Service.
All right, there you have it. Nice day out today. We'll take it for late April. Not quite in those summer temperatures just yet, but we'll get there. We had a little taste of it, you know. We get those fake springs and those fake summers along the way, and then we get slapped back into reality. So we're okay here at around 60 degrees. We can handle that and some nice sun. All right, Morning Drive returns here. Mary Verdi with me. Good morning, Mary, and thanks again for coming in today.
Oh, it's very fun to be here and be with you guys. So
absolutely.
That's great. Thank you.
So we were talking, and you just performed a song for us right before the break. And that song is part of a larger performance that's you're kicking off on Friday, May 8th, 7 p.m. at the St. Germain Theater, Barrington Stage here in Pittsfield. Mm-hmm. And let's talk a little bit about that show and how it came together. It's a little departure, I think, for you because you said most of your tours have been more church-based, and this is in a theater.
Yeah.
So sort of the backdrop for that is something that I know you're going to describe for me as a panorama. So tell us what that's going to look like.
Great. So a couple of years ago, I really started to study angels. Mm. And I realized, you know, if I was honest with myself, I didn't know a whole lot about angels, even though I knew they were part of my life. Mm-hmm. They were very present. They were, you know, guiding me quite a bit. And as a child, I knew Michael, you know, all the angels from the Bible, Michael, Raphael, Gabriel. Mm-hmm. I named my son Gabriel. Mm-hmm. Gabriel is for truth and speaking your truth and the pure love of that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I went on Google and I started searching anything about angels, and I found the most lovely angel healer, very prayer-based angel healer and teacher who happens to live in Scotland, and her name is Calista. Hmm. Excuse me. So I began to take classes with her, and she opened up this unbelievable world for me. And I learned so much more about angels from so many different backgrounds mm-hmm. and stories that I had never known. And so I started working with her. She created these drop-dead, glorious, contemporary, angelic images with an artist from the country, Lebanon. Hmm. And this artist is incredibly interesting. Her name is Marie Farzali, and she is in Lebanon. And you know, Lebanon has not ever been in peacetime.
Yeah, not recently anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
And so her whole life has been war. Hmm. And incredible visual artist. And she has been hired to put peace on high rises, huge peace images for people to just kind of calm their spirit. Well, she and Calista connected and created these glorious angelic images. Hmm. And so I talked to them and we came to an agreement, and they are allowing me to use 7 of these images. There's 34, but they're allowing me to use 7 of them on my tour. Mm.
And so these must be very large images, right?
They are enormous. Yeah. It was quite a big undertaking. We first started this creation of the show wanting to have projected images and possibly some hologram work and all of that stuff. But very quickly, I learned that my little baby budget could not handle that.
And it is expensive to put on performances, right?
That's yes.
When people are paying their ticket prices and getting to these performances, they got to know all the stuff that goes into them.
Yeah, there's a pretty big investment with this tour, but I believe in it so deeply. And I just, angels are so healing and miraculously loving that I knew this was something I wanted to invest in. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we started with the projection, and very quickly we learned in theaters that is not a good idea on a tour, because every concert will be in a different theater, and the lighting can really mess with the projection. Mm. So I talked to actually my co-producer when I was recording Angels Calling, and he said, Mary, why don't you put them on a canvas or figure out how to put these images, you know, so they're standing. Mm-hmm. And I was off to the races. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, I can do this. I worked with WJ Blueprint. Mm-hmm. And they worked and they worked with some companies in different cities and figured out the best way and the best platform for theaters, because in theaters you have to really pay attention to the fireproof aspect of things.
Yeah.
So we figured out how to do it, and it is a 28-foot panoramic. 7 angels, so they're 4 feet wide and 8 feet tall, and just glorious, glorious angels. I guess that would be 32, wouldn't it? We started at 28, but we made them a little bit bigger once we did the first one. So anyway, their presence alone is peaceful. And it's really interesting that the detail that these two women put into these images and all of the symbolization and the peace and the understanding of the gifts. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm doing my job right in the 75 minutes, I will be able to share their gifts and messages to really permeate our hearts, which is my goal.
So you're channeling that in some way, as well as bringing your talents and your singing and performing. So it's really all about the experience. Do you share some of that with the audience while they're there? Do you sort of let them in on what it took to create that?
I talk about the images. Mm. I don't know that I'll talk about all that it took to put it together.
Well, but that's why you listen to Morning Drive.
Yeah, that's right.
Hear that backstory.
I know. Yeah. That's right. It's interesting. and, you know, it's trial and error, everything with life. You go, well, you know, let's put it out there and see in these cities that we're going to go to. Let's see if there's some angel seekers. And I believe there are.
Yeah. How long of a tour will this be for you?
I first started saying 3 years because it takes quite a while to build a tour and get the, you know, especially when you're outside of the Berkshires and going into different cities. So we'll see. Mm. 2 to 3 years, definitely. And there's so many more angels, honestly. I thought, you know, if this is something that people are interested in, this is something that I could change and feature different angels as well.
Yeah.
Be kind of cool.
Right. Well, I think it's probably time to ask you to pick up the guitar one more time.
Fun.
And now that we want to make sure we get that in, of course, you know, we're on a schedule here on
That's
radio.
Right.
We got to get it done. And the song you're going to be singing here is Just As I Am.
Yes.
So give us a little background on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the angels that we feature is Archangel Uriel. Hmm. And Archangel Uriel is full of this fantastic energy. And his message is all about action. And it's up to us to create the life that is going to bring us the joy that we're really wanting. So with Uriel, you might want to pray, or if you don't pray, meditate and just say, Uriel, be with me today and help me have the courage to possibly change something in my life that needs to be changed, or to stand up for love in the darkest of moments. Mm. We all know those moments. Mm. And sometimes it helps to have an angel by our side to do that. Or to have the courage to speak our truth. Hmm. And this song is all about spreading your wings, making the change in your life that you need, and having the courage to spread our wings and soar.
All right, Mary Verdi with Just As I Am. Here we are.
Thank you for showing me You showed me just who I am. I touched down, but I'm soaring again. My smile has finally returned to all that I am. So I must go quickly and soar with joy again. Complete. Just as I am, just as I am, just as I am. For years I lived with such pain. Oh, I allowed that hurt to remain. Eventually I am. Ah, but now I've finally returned. Oh, I'm strong from the lessons I've learned. And no, I don't care to stray even just for a day. Just as I am, just as I am, just as I am, as I am, just as I am.
Fantastic. Mary Verdi here on Morning Drive.
Thank you.
Playing Just As I Am. Wonderful. Uplifting
song.
Thank
you. Thank you very much. It's fun, too, because it kind of kicks into little bit of joy.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
and you can hear that. It comes through.
Oh, good.
You know?
Good.
Absolutely. Even in the morning.
Even in the morning. And if you hear Eileen Markland's violin playing on
it. Oh,
it's just so phenomenal. Nice. I just love playing with her.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
so you did some recording recently, and are some of these songs included in that recording also?
The very first song I did, Angels Calling, and then this last recording I released, Angels Calling, Just for a Moment, which is a very poignant song about missing someone so dearly and talking to them and saying, let's just go back and live our life once more, like in her dreams, just really missing. It's one of my favorite songs, Just for a Moment. And then the third song we recorded is We Are Here, which is the opening song to remind us that angels are absolutely everywhere, and all we need to do is stop and speak to them, and that help just comes soaring in.
Hmm. And so that recording process, I know we were talking in the first half about sort of, you know, what it takes to build up your musical talent and to be able to perform and songwriting and all the things that build up to this. Surprisingly, I think you said that you've incorporated some AI in that process. So tell us how you got there and how it contributed to what you've been doing.
Okay, so this was very interesting.
Yeah.
I've recorded 7 CDs over the years, and most of the CDs I recorded with Mark Thayer at Signature Sounds. Mm. And he and I have become very, very close, dear friends. Mm-hmm. And so before I recorded with this music, he was playing a kind of a game with me. And he was taking past songs that we had done on CDs, and he would send them through this AI app, which would take my little love sappy song and make it a punk song. I was like, Mark, come on, I hate that, you know, because it's not my avenue.
Yeah, that's a creative process too, though, in a way, right? It's just a different one, in a different lane.
So, absolutely. So what I normally do is I sit at the piano or the guitar, and I use my phone and I record my rough demo. Okay. Then I send it off to Mark, and then he and I have the conversation. What instrumentation are we going to use for this that will really bring home the song? And so I sent my demo off to him. And without even thinking, by the end of the day, he had taken that song, piano, vocal, remember, and given me 8 different arrangements of an entirely full band with strings, full band as well.
Wow.
And it had my voice and my piano in it.
Hmm.
And
so it incorporated the elements of things that you had put down as a demo, but then expanded it beyond really what
unbelievable
the capability
that
would
I
have
could
been,
right? I could never afford to have this full band.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a full band or a full orchestra, you can easily spend $100,000 on one song.
Yeah.
So there's just no way.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the cool thing about this too is with the Angels Tour, the Illumination of Angels Tour is what it is called. You know, I've been trying to describe that ethereal, that feeling, that sacred feeling of angels that is that you can't really tangibly touch.
Mm-hmm.
And recording with AI created that sound. And I went, I could not capture that ethereal, just kind of eerie sound.
Yeah.
So then I traveled to Connecticut, which is where the studio is, and we redid my vocal. And then we took, they're called, I don't remember what the arms of the mixing is, but anyway, so we are able to take every single instrument that was offer to us mm-hmm. with this AI and then mix exactly how we wanted it.
Right.
And it was such an incredible experience. Mm. And it was interesting because at the time that I was recording, I was also rehearsing my Christmas show with amazing musicians, you know?
Yeah.
And so I brought this up and it was such a mixed bag of reactions.
I'll bet it was, right? Because now you got professional musicians, you know, their whole career is built on this. And you're like, well, now we've filled out, you know, this production with with technology, really.
100%. And at the time, the drummer, Johnny Haddad, said, "You guys aren't going to believe this, but the number one song on the country charts was all AI.
Mm.
Even the vocalist, mm-hmm. it wasn't a human."
Yeah.
And it stayed on number one forever.
Wow.
So I'm not really interested in ever doing that,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm not sure that I won't go back to the recording studio with a full band because this AI, these three songs are very angelic and it, I believe it really captures that ethereal sound.
Well, I think the progression of technology and music, you know, is just nonstop. So I think of the early days of recording demos, you know, when you go back to some of the music that we grew up with was in the 60s, musicians had to go into a studio, they had to record something there, and eventually they started getting equipment. You know, I think of the famous one is Bruce Springsteen with his Nebraska album, where he recorded a demo on his little four-track cassette recorder. And then when they went into the studio to flesh it all out, he said, you know, it just doesn't sound right. And they actually went back to the original demo tape that he used. And that basically became the album Nebraska, right?
Yeah.
But that was 40-something years ago. And now it seems like the technology has provided some advantages, right? Where you're doing things that, you know, a musician, you know, couldn't do in those years, way beyond what they could even imagine to be able to do. And the kind of thing you describe with the AI just allows that creative process one more step.
I totally agree. But I do think there will always be a need for the human spirit and the human heart and the live feeling of a human. I think there's a place for AI. This particular tour was perfect for the recording.
Yeah.
I don't think the live bands and all of that will ever change.
Goes back to the pendulum you were describing before, right? We're going to get this technology. We're going to try it and use it and do all these things with it. And then we're going to say, but it still isn't like what we had, right? And maybe swing back a little bit there.
Yeah, 100%. Because there's nothing. And performance-wise, who wants to stare at, you know, a robot on stage? You'll always want humans to be natural and be real and the connection that we were talking about, the synergy.
Yeah, there was a big controversy recently with I think it was a national football or maybe it was a college football playoff game where the entertainment in between was a DJ. And it hadn't been that. It had always been a performance of some kind. And this was two guys, you know, doing the turntabling and but it didn't feel like a performance, right? But it is for a lot of people.
Yeah.
That is their music and that is what they're into. So
there's many different flavors and
Music's wonderful.
Yeah.
No matter
which
way you cut it, right?
I agree. It's magical.
Yeah. Mary Verdi, my guest here, believe it or not, only a couple minutes left. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we'll have time for that last song.
That's okay.
But we should probably talk about the music video and getting music on YouTube and things like that amplifies and sort of carries your performances and your music further.
Yeah, I found over the years, I definitely geared myself more toward music videos because I found that, you know, in today's world, you know, we listen, but we're also so visual now, and there's so many different sensories that we have to be aware of as performers. And so, I am so sorry.
That's
my
all right.
phone. Can you hear that?
Yes, I can, actually. I was wondering how you were playing it without me seeing it on the guitar.
That's I'm all right. so sorry.
Well, if there's going to be a ringtone that you have, it's got to be that.
It is great music. Let's see. Century. You've got to help me out.
We're talking about music video and the visual part of...
Oh, right.
And getting your video watched and heard, and we've only got about a minute left.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting. YouTube has been wonderful to connect me with many, many different people in different countries. And we are going to be releasing angel videos with these songs.
Okay.
And we're in the works currently right now with Clayson Creative, Ryan Clayson. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I've found that that's a real avenue. So over the past years, I've helped different small Catholic churches and have the kids part of these videos. So that's been a fun avenue. And then we'll shift into angels.
That's great. So stay tuned for that. Watch out for that. And the performance, Mary Verdi at the Barrington Stage. What's the theater again?
St.
Germain Theater. Thank you. Friday, May 8th, 7 p.m. So stay tuned for that. And tickets, I'm sure, will be available in the normal places that you would find them. Mary Verdi, best of luck to you. And good luck kicking off this big tour. We appreciate you coming in this morning.
Thank you, Sean.
Absolutely. All right, everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll see you again next week. Brian Burkle joins you on Monday. Take care. Just give